Good evening. Finally, we are in our fourth petition. Please open your Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 6. The fourth petition in the Lord's Prayer is about your daily bread. Your daily bread. After praying for God's name, God's kingdom, and God's will, for God's glory, and finally, today, you start to pray for your own good. So here is the word of God in Matthew chapter 6. Start from verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's also read the Heidelberg Catechism. It's in your outline. Heidelberg Catechism, question 125. What is the fourth petition? The answer, give us today our daily bread, that is, provide us with all our bodily need, so that we may acknowledge that you are the only fountain of all good, and that our care and labor, and also your gifts, cannot do us any good without your blessing. Grant, therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it only in you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give thanks for this wonderful day. We give thanks for your faithfulness to this congregation for 200 years. And you will continue to do so for the next and the next generation. We are so glad we can praise you, and please give us a humble heart to hear your word and give us an understanding to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A preacher was preached in an anniversary service for a church. He joined the church family on Saturday morning as they were endeavoring to knock on every door in their town. The local pastor dropped him off at some apartment buildings, and he started down the short entrance to the building to knock on some doors. As he approached the first building, a middle-aged woman came out of her apartment. He greeted her with a friendly good morning, but she brushed past him, scowled gruffly, and uttered a few choice words. She might have a tough morning. When the preacher got to the upper floor of the second building, he could see all the streets from the apartments where he was working. He noticed the same lady sitting in a chair in front of a small white building that appeared to be some kind of business. He noticed the sign on the front door, Religious Sons, the Center for Positive Living. It's irony that people don't want God, but they want a kind of positive living. They found their trust in science, even religious science. I don't know what it is. It's pretty a new term. But brothers and sisters, if your joy is running on empty and life has you discouraged, will you try to find some positive thinking as solution? Will you rely on science? Will you put your trust on your self-improvement? Why don't you rely on God? That's your problem. So our text today reminds you that because Jesus depended on his Heavenly Father perfectly, self-reliant people like you can learn to live depending on God each day. As we look into the text today, I want you to notice that first, Pray for your daily provision and have a heart for those in need. Pray for your daily provision and have a heart for those in need. What do we learn? What do we mean by daily bread? Early church fathers thought it was too earthly and too small to pray about daily bread. They referred to the sacramental bread broken in the Lord's Supper. For this reason, some early Christians celebrated daily communion. Actually, bread here is an expression that symbolized all your daily physical, temporal needs. Bread in the Bible times was even more fundamental than it is today. If you say bread, you could also mean food. Joe Beakey put it in this way: daily bread is all your daily necessities by which you live in this world. All that is necessary to maintain your daily life, clothing, shelter, and all other things that you need, a place to live, the strength and health to do your work, and the wisdom to perform your daily tasks. Think about how do you get your daily bread today? It takes a community to produce a loaf of bread. Someone plants the grain, someone made it to be flour, and someone bakes the bread, and even someone have to deliver it to your dinner table. So no bread comes to your dinner without the work, the sacrifice, and the gifts of strangers whom you even don't know. So don't just take it for granted. Pray and thanks God for your bread. So many people work behind it, you even couldn't see it. Give us this day our daily bread includes yet more. It includes also the common joys of normal and healthy daily living. It includes family life, the relationship to your husbands, to your husbands or wives, and with your children. You see, your tables may be filled in your family, you may have food and drink, but if you don't have the other necessities of daily life, if there is disharmony between husband and wife, if there is an argumentative spirit between parents and children, if there is little love and togetherness and unity in the family, then that bread is tasteless. Children need not only bread, they need the love of their parents. Wives and husbands need not only bread, they need the love of each other. When you pray for God to give you bread, you are also committing yourselves to share it when you get it. You need a heart to see those in need. It was Basil the Great in the 4th century who said, "The bread that is spoiling in your house belongs to the hungry. The shoes that are mildewing under your bed belong to those who have none. The clothes stored away in your trunk belong to those who are naked." In Bloomington, there is a Wheeler Mission who did a great job to help the poor. You certainly could help them. If Christians today don't help the poor, then the pagans will do that. And the pagans do that, don't for the glory of God. They have their own agenda. Philip Reckon said, "Getting bread for yourself may seem like a physical matter, but giving daily bread to others is a spiritual matter." So, do you care more about this physical matter, or you care more about this spiritual matter? That's why Jesus teaches you to pray for all daily bread. You don't just pray for yourself. You also pray for others, especially for those in need. So pray for your daily provision and have a heart for those in need. Secondly, pray for an adequate amount of the good things of this life and be content with it. You are praying for this day, your bread. You don't pray for a month or a year's bread. It teaches you the importance of depending every day on the Lord. It teaches you to walk by faith, not by sight. When you seem to have everything wrapped up for the rest of your lives, when you are financially secure by the world's standards, do you still have a heart to rely on the Lord? One of the greatest prayers in the Bible is in Proverbs chapter 30, 8 to 9. It says, "Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." That's a prayer of a godly man. He is content with his Lord. How about you? How much do you pray for your life? Do you content with it? Today, you pray for your daily bread. Excuse me. Today you pray for your daily bread. You don't pray for dessert. Well, you know, I believe in those 2 days you enjoy plenty of dessert. For church's 200 years anniversary. That's great. We praise God for that. Well, you don't pray for your dessert because bread is your fundamental need. Dessert is not. Will you still be content if there is no dessert in your dinner table? Think about Israel people. When they wandered in the wilderness, when God gave them manna to eat, manna could only be eaten on that day. If it was kept overnight, it would spoil. But they were not satisfied with it. They wanted meat. In Deuteronomy 8:3, "And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." When God gives you an adequate amount of the good things of this life, he means to humble you, to let you walk with him, to rely on him. Why you are not satisfied to your life today? Well, might because you set your life standard by the media, by people's opinion, not by the word of God. You say you are a Christian, but you have a pagan worldview. J.I. Williamson said, "You fail to realize how much you are influenced by the spirit and the temper of the times in which you lived. Is not the social welfare concept all around you? Does it not teach you to say that man deserves a certain standard of living, even if he does nothing productive? Are you not today many millions of people on state welfare rolls? And do you not all tend to think that you have a fundamental right to such things as your daily bread and much more besides? Do you not even tend to believe that a person is entitled to certain minimum necessities of life, regardless of whether or not he is a good citizen or bad, or even willing to work or not?" The world today teaches you that you deserve it. But the Bible says, as a sinner, you deserve nothing before God. as a lost sinner by nature, you deserve the eternal wrath and the curse of God. But there is mercy in Jesus Christ. Only in Jesus Christ you have your daily bread, especially the bread of life. Thomas Watson said, "In being content with daily bread, though less than others have, much grace is seen. All the graces act its part in a contented soul. There is faith. A Christian believes that God does all for the best. There is love, which thinks no evil, but takes all God does in good part. There is patience, submitting cheerfully to what God orders wisely. God is much pleased to see so many graces at once sweetly exercised, like so many bright stars shining in a constellation." So faith, grace, and patience, all those comes from the life of Jesus. And only you, in Jesus, you will find your contentment. So thirdly, in addition, pray that God will feed your spirit from his word. God will feed your spirit from his word. Your daily bread is not only merely bread, but also the word of God. When Jesus fed the 5,000, they wanted more bread for the future. In John 6:34-35, they said to Jesus, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Jesus is the bread of life. He is the word of God. If you don't have a hunger for the word of God, you must hunger for something else. If you don't worship God in your home, you must worship idols. So pray that God will give you the hunger for his word. This is your bread for your spiritual life. You ought to desire it. Thomas Watson goes on, "You must have a higher end in your prayers. You must aim at heaven while you are praying for earth. If you are to pray for temporal things, how much more for spiritual? If you are to pray for bread, how much more for the bread of life? If for oil, how much more for the oil of gladness? If to have your hunger satisfied, much more should you pray to have your souls saved. Your body needs daily bread, and your soul needs the word of God. When you worry about tomorrow, when you have troubles in your life, you need the word of God to feed you and direct you. In Matthew 6:34, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." When you take heart in God's word, your worry will be gone. So when you bow your heads before dinner table, fathers, and if you pray the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," you are praying that your children may have months to receive God's word in his house. You are praying also that you may have good family fellowship today. You need daily bread to feed them. You also need the word of God to feed their spirit. You need this eternal blessing in your household. Fourthly, in praying for your daily provision, you are acknowledging that you are completely dependent upon the Lord physically and spiritually. In James chapter 1:17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father, the crops to grow. He is the one who gives you life and the strength to earn your bread and then bake it." So your daily bread is not to be taken for granted. You are utterly dependent upon God's gracious provision every moment and every day. It's not only the poor who need to pray for this petition. Actually, the more you have, the more you need this petition, not less. American evangelist C. Stacy Woods said, "Material affluence in no respect lessens my need to rely on God. Actually, it increases it. I am in greater spiritual danger when I have plenty than when I have nothing. Hence, the almost greater need of the wealthy to cry to God for mercy that they may not fail to trust him." America enjoys its prosperity today. You have plenty of food. You have liberty. And yet, you must rely on the Lord. Don't run away from the Lord. William Alexander Martin was a missionary to China in the 19th century. He was born in Lavonia, Washington County in southern Indiana, and graduated from Indiana University. Martin went to China in 1850 and spent 66 years in China. He and his wife made a great contribution to the education system in China. Martin even got China Emperor's Reward at his late days. In his book, A Cycle of Cathy, he told us a story about a little boy who was a beggar on the street. This little boy lived a wild life. Martin called this boy to come home with him. Martin and his wife helped some beggars to go to school and find a way to make their own living. But when this boy got several pennies from Martin, he just ran away. He didn't have any patience to wait for or listen to Martin at all. He had no idea that Martin had something better which would change his whole life. When you pray for your daily bread, when your needs are met, don't run away from the Lord. You are not a beggar. You are children of God. Stay in the house of God and listen to the word of God. God often gives you more than you ask. God wants to give you something better, something higher, something greater. God wants you to grow spiritually. The bread could be some difficulty in your life, by God's intention for your spiritual good. In the book of Isaiah 30:20, "And though the Lord gave you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore, but your eyes shall see your teacher." Teacher here means the minister of the word of God. Today we are so grateful to see multi-generations of ministers of God to this congregation. They taught you faithfully. God is so gracious to you from generation to generation. But sometimes difficulties may draw your attention to rely on God. God wants you to grow spiritually, to be mature, to take your responsibility. You live in a real world. There is real trouble in this world every day. But your God is so gracious. He is never far from you. The Lord wants you to draw near to him and to rely on him, especially to those who will go to study in a college in the future. Don't run away from God, but rely on him. First, find a reformed church, then find a college nearby. Because you need the word of God every day. Do you need all the knowledge in your higher education? Probably not. In my seminary, from one staff's email signature, There is always one sentence. It says, another day has passed away, and I still have not used calculus. Well, nothing wrong to study hard. Get your degree you need. I got my degree. But don't rely on it, because you are completely dependent on the Lord, physically and spiritually. Lastly, because Jesus depended on his Heavenly Father perfectly, self-reliant people like you can learn to live depending on God each day. In biblical times, people knew how important to rely on God for their living. When they planted crops, they didn't know they could have a harvest season or not. They relied on God. When they went for travel, they didn't have GPS to help them. They relied on God for direction. For Israel people, when they traveled in the wilderness, the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire gave Israel people direction, which is much better than GPS. Jesus also relied on God. Jesus even didn't cheat when he had need on earth. When he was hungry, when he was tempted by Satan, he relied on God. In Matthew 4:3-4, now when the tempter came to Jesus, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus didn't do his own will. He relied on God. Jesus is the one who has a real burden for those in need. He came to save sinners. He preached the gospel to the poor. He cleansed the leprosy. He let the lame give the blind sight. He let the deaf hear. He gave the dead life. You are united with Christ. When you have a heart for those in need, it is not because of you. It is because of the life of Jesus in you. You just need to live it out. You are not on your own. Jesus is the one who is content. He was born in a manger. He had to work as a carpenter for a living. In his ministry, he was rejected by his own people, and yet he was content because he knew that his Heavenly Father so loved him. In Matthew 3:17, and behold, a voice out of the heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You are content to what you have because of Jesus. You are united with him. He loves you so much that he lays down his life for you. Jesus is God, and yet he humbled himself as a bond servant. Flesh, he laid down his life to God. He gave glory to God. When Jesus faced the difficulties in his ministry, he went to pray to his Father. His Father is delighted to help him. In Matthew 7:11, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Jesus relied on his Father. So don't rely on yourself. You are just a mortal man. Rely on God. You don't know how to do that, but you are united with Jesus who do know how to do this. Jesus did this for you. He did it perfectly. This is your hope in Jesus, to rely on the Lord. So because Jesus depended on his Heavenly Father perfectly, self-reliant people like you can learn to live depending on God each day. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give thanks for your word. We are so narrow-minded people. We always lose our faith in your word. Father, give us a clear mind to know that you are the life of bright. Give us a heart to draw near to you every day, to live, to depend on you every day. Let us know that you are our Father, Heavenly Father. We don't live for ourselves. We live for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Let's respond and sing Psalm 104b. 104b. So man brings forth food by walking the ground, and one makes his heart with gladness, and find bread and strength his heart for his toil. Please stand and sing Psalm 104b.